Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you today from Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul here very confidently said something in the first verse, that every man who is called of God to preach must have the same confidence in. This is a very important message today. And my prayer is that I will be able to get through this message in the amount of time that we have for this program. But this is a very, very important message. He said in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He very confidently said, I am telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And he said, I am not lying to you. Now, Paul plainly declared in the Scripture, our Lord plainly declared in the Scripture, all of the Scripture declares that there are many men out there whose message is a message of lies. That's just so. Just turn anywhere to the Scripture and you can find that to be so. The Scripture says, many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's what it says. There are many preachers out there who do not say the truth in Christ. They lie. That may be shocking to some, but it's true. It's true. But this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, my conscience bears me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said, the Holy Spirit of God has given me a confidence in this, an absolute confidence. The message that I'm delivering to you, he said, is not a message of lies. I'm not lying to you. He said, I say the truth in Christ. Now, how could Paul say that? Really, with such confidence, with such absolute confidence, how could Paul say that? Turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 28. If you look with me at Acts 28, verse 30, it says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, watch verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it with all confidence, no man forbidding him. How could he confidently say, I'm not lying to you? I'm telling you the truth. How could he do that? It's because he was determined to know nothing and to preach nothing and to teach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the reason why. He said, the only thing that I'm going to preach to you is what God has written in this word concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to the issue of salvation, it's going to be the Word of Christ on the accomplishment of Christ alone. Alone. Paul said, I'm not going to add my opinion to it. And he didn't. He said, I'm not going to add my father's traditions to it. He said, I used to thrive in that. I threw it all away. He did not do that. He said, I'm not going to change it. He said, I'm not going to take anything away from it. He said, I'm just going to preach it. He said, I'm not going to preach half of it. You know, telling half the truth can still be a lie. He said it's going to be the truth of the word on the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. By God's grace, it's going to be the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words," not to come and impress people with this great knowledge of words that I have. And he said, that's not it. "Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." If a person thinks just preaching Christ crucified is, that's foolishness. Well, that's a evidence of a person who will perish. "But to us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, that's a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, that's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Somebody will say, well, yeah, but what about man's role? Okay, you're going to preach Christ and what he did, but what about man's role in this? What about man's will? And what about man's works? What about man's responsibility? What about the responsibility of the flesh? Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision," we're God's people, "which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus." Oh, we're so, thank God for Christ. Our hope and our gospel is wrapped up in the person and the work and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "We're the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." None. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we leave man's ability and man's work and man's flesh out of it. We cast it out. We throw it all away. We preach only what is written concerning the ability and the work and the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul says concerning himself and his own preaching, Paul says the same thing to every other man who has been called to preach. Every other man. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Over in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove," that means prove it through the word. "Rebuke," that means correct. "Exhort with all long suffering," that means patience, "and with doctrine." Do it with the word. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Men will not want to hear the word alone. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned to fables." They'll be turned to lies. And I say sadly, that is largely what has happened today. That's largely what has happened. Verse 5, he said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. How does a man make full proof of his ministry? The make full proof means fulfill. That's what it means. How does a man fulfill his ministry? Here's how. He preaches the word. That's the full calling of the ministry. Preach the word that God has written. Whether it's in season, whether it's out of season, popular or unpopular, either way, a true God-called preacher will only preach one thing: what the word of Christ has to say about the accomplishment of Christ. Period. That's it. Now, don't turn back with me, but Paul said in our text that the Holy Ghost had borne witness to his conscience, borne witness to his heart, that he was preaching the absolute truth in Christ. And if any man is going to preach the truth, the Holy Ghost must bear witness of the exact same thing to that man. Must. You cannot confidently declare what you're not confident of. You just can't. You just can't. God's Spirit must bear witness and convince. He must convince. And this right here is his witness that he convinces of. If you're following with me, turn one page to Titus chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, the acknowledging of the truth, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul said, this is what God's Spirit has convinced me of. He has convinced me that this is God's Word. He said, that's what the Spirit has convinced me of. This is God's Word, and God cannot lie. God cannot lie. That's what the Spirit will convince every man of who has been called to preach. This is God's Word, not man's. God's Word. God wrote this, and God cannot lie. Sometimes we casually say, you know, and I just said it right now, I say, well, Paul said, or we'll say Peter said, John said, and they did. They did. The Lord used those men. They did physically say it. But here's the truth of the matter. God said through Paul. God said through Peter. God said through John. These are the words of God Himself. These are not the instruction of man. These words are not man's instruction. These are the very words of God Himself. Over in 2 Peter 1, it says in 2 Peter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No man came up with any piece of this on his own. These are not the words of men. Men felt led to write this. They were moved, and they penned the truth that was in their heart. But they were not the ones who put those words there. God put them there. Verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Paul said what he wanted to say, and Peter said, and John said what they wanted to say, but they were all being moved by the Holy Spirit of God to say it. And when God's Holy Spirit comes to a man and calls that man to preach, he will convince that man, absolutely convince him, that these are not the words of men. These are the words of God. And therefore, every word in here is truth. There's no lie in them. It's truth. And once God's Spirit convinces a man that these words are the truth, he will convince that man to only preach these words. Only these words. He will convince that man to declare these words over and over and over. Every time he stands up, he will convince that man that these words are not grievous to God's people. Well, I just told him that last time I stood up. Well, tell him again. It's not grievous to God's people. It's safe. Therefore, that man will fill his message with these words. If you're hearing a God-called man, you're going to hear the Word of God. He's going to take you to the Scripture. He's going to open the Scripture to you. He's not going to open his opinion on things, and he's not going to get off on tangents and issues. He's going to preach God's Word to you. What the Word has to say about God and man and his sinfulness and Christ and his salvation, the accomplishment of his salvation. And he will convince that man that as long as he's preaching these words, he's preaching the truth. He is speaking the truth and he's not lying to people. It's safe if he'll stay right here. He's speaking the truth and he's not lying. The moment a man gets away from these words, the only thing that'll come out of his mouth is lies. If he says anything that's not in agreement with these words, it's a lie. So if I say anything about God other than what's written right here, it'll be a lie. I'll say that on myself. If I veer from what this word has to say about God and Christ, I'll be lying. And that's why it's a fearful thing. And it's a holy thing. And we must stay on this word. We have to. Now, if I say that God wants to do something, anything other than what His Word says He wants to do, I'll be lying to you. You'll hear men say that. Now, God wants to. Well, let's see what God said He wanted to do here in His Word. Anything other than that is a lie. If I say anything about Christ other than what is written in this word concerning Him, it'll be a lie. If I say that He came to accomplish anything other than what His Word says He came to accomplish, it'll be a lie. I'd be lying. And if I veer from what this word says concerning who Christ actually is and what He's actually done for His people, I'll be lying. If I say anything about man other than what is written in this word concerning sinful man, it'll be a lie. This word is not high on the flesh of man. Not at all. It has horrible things to say about man in his flesh. And if I say, well, that's too hard. Let's soften that and let's get away from that a little bit. I'll be headed to lies, moving towards lies. If I tell you that man has a right that this word says he doesn't have, it'll be lies. If I tell you that man has an ability to do something, if I say, now you have the ability to do, this is in your power, this is in, other than what this word has to say about man's ability, it'll be lies. See how serious this is? All truth hinges on this word. When God calls a man to preach, He'll call that man to preach His Word. And in the Word, in the authority and the power that God has vested in His Word, based on the Word of God, that man can say with absolute confidence, a clear conscience and absolute confidence, he'll say, I'm preaching God's truth to you. And I'm not lying. Because of the authority of the Word of God. Only because of that, because of the confidence that the Spirit has given me in the Word of God. Not in me, in the Word of God. He's not lying. That's why a man can say that. He's not lying. Jeremiah 23, don't turn over there, but it begins with God saying, woe to the pastors who are lying to the people. The people they preach to. He said they're preaching their own dreams. Things that they've imagined, things they've made up in their minds about God. He said they go around telling everybody, "Now God said." And you hear that a lot. But this is what he said there. He said, "I didn't say it. You can't find it in my word." He said, "That's how you can know that I did not send them. I didn't send them with a message. They're not preaching my word. They're preaching their own word." And he said, "If they're preaching things about me that you cannot find in my word, I didn't send them." And he said, "They will not profit one soul that they preach to." Not one soul. He said, "He that has a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that has my word, let him preach my word faithfully." Now, this has caused me to examine myself as a preacher. And it should. It ought to cause every man who is a preacher to examine himself. And it ought to cause all men and women who hear a message preached to examine themselves and examine what they're hearing. Can I say with the Apostle Paul concerning the message I'm preaching right now, can I say that I'm preaching the truth in Christ to you? Can I say that? Can we all as hearers say concerning the message we're hearing right now, can we say, "I am hearing the truth in Christ and I'm not being lied to"? Can we say that? In examining this and in thinking on this, this realization came to me. Concerning God, and I mean God, and concerning Christ and concerning salvation, concerning what the Word says, if I was a liar, I want to make this very clear. If I was a liar concerning those things, God, Christ, salvation, if I was a false prophet, this is what I would tell you. All right, this is what I would preach to you. I would tell you God is not sovereign. If I was a liar, if I was a false prophet, I would say to you, God is not reigning and not ruling over all things. I would tell you that all of his works were not known to him from before the foundation of the world. He did not order and he did not purpose all things that are to be done. If I was a speaker of lies, I would tell you God the Father did not choose a particular people to save. He does not have a chosen elect that he's purposed to set his love on and set his affection on. He did not choose a particular bride for his son to love with an everlasting love. He didn't do that. If I did not speak the truth in Christ, I would say God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not finish the work of salvation through the blood of his cross. He didn't finish it. He did not pay the payment. He came to make a payment, but he didn't pay it. That redemption, meaning payment in full, he didn't do it. When he emptied his veins for the sin of his people, it wasn't enough. That's what I would tell you. If I was a liar, a preacher of lies, I would tell you that God the Spirit will not quicken. He will not call every one of those chosen, redeemed people back to life and to faith in Christ. If I was a liar on this subject, I would tell you that we have the ability to overrule or change or alter God's purpose concerning us. That's what I would tell you. I'd tell you that to some degree, the outcome is in our hands. Therefore, I would tell you that you should not and you cannot cast your all on His Word. You just can't. I would tell you that believing on Christ is not enough. You cannot trust His work alone. You need to add yours to it. But thanks be to God, after the examination of the Word and what God's Holy Spirit, by His grace, has caused me to know and declare concerning it, according to the proof of His Word, here's the truth. God is sovereign. God is absolutely sovereign. Isaiah 52:7 says, "Thy God reigneth. All of his works were known to him from before the foundation of the world. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And what was his pleasure? It pleased God the Father to choose a people. Every soul purposed for glory was elected according to the foreknowledge of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And here is the truth in Christ, all right? Here's the truth of Christ. Christ did finish the work of salvation when he poured out his blood on the cross. It's finished. It's accomplished. He redeemed all of God's chosen people in full. He cried, it is finished. Because Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And with that, God's Holy Spirit will quicken. He will give life to. And he will call every chosen, redeemed soul back to Christ. John 6:37, Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Thank God we do not have the ability to overrule or change or alter any of his mercy and grace that he has purposed for us in himself. Malachi 3:6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Therefore, you most certainly can trust him. You can trust him. 2 Peter 5:7 says, you can cast all your care upon him, because in the choosing of the Father, the blood of the Son, the calling of the Spirit, he cares for you. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Believe on him. Trust him. Cast your all on him. He's our hope.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.